Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike with Johnny, as always. Today's topic is this is going to be one where we have to tread lightly, kind of, sort of, but not really. Barriers to entry. Are they a good thing? Are they a bad thing? And like I said, you got to tread lightly, Johnny, because there's a lot of new people that want to get in the game. There's a lot of people like us that have been around for a while, and the barriers are, I mean, even on eBay, I'm going to say the barriers are definitely higher because there's more advancements in technology and there's more people reselling than there ever has. So I'll kind of let you go first here, since it's a pretty easy softball topic that I didn't tell you beforehand.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Mike. Pleasure as always. I'd say in general, even before, every year gets tougher, right? But even before this year with the big AI, I don't know, charge, eBay's always been a tougher platform to start, just because you gotta, you can get items, but it's a matter of, I gotta set up a bank account, I gotta set up how I'm gonna get paid, I gotta learn how to list. I think you can get started quicker, but I think the requirements to enter are a little tougher. Though on Amazon, you got to scan your ID and have a Zoom meeting. So I guess there's some technology advancements there as well. You just didn't have to do that. So I guess nowadays they're both pretty on par to get into. Now, as far as the monetary entry, well, you got to have a little bit of money to spend usually, unless you're doing the free pickup model, on either platform. If you're doing the free pickup model, well, I guess you have to have a vehicle of transport, or at least a, I don't know, a little red wagon, and a bus pass. and you can make a go out of it. We always say even a homeless person could do this. They have access to a public library. If they probably couldn't do eBay because they don't got the camera phone just yet. So they're probably going to have to start in Amazon, that homeless person, right? Then they can transition to eBay once they get their camera phone. The titles on eBay are getting more, I don't know, mainstream, where you can list something and you can put a couple words in there and it's not going to sell because everybody else is doing professional titles. Like, it's the full 80 character limit. All the details you pretty much need are in the title. So the days of list it and forget it, I don't think are there much anymore. A little bit of pocket change or a little red wagon, and you can get eBay going. Now, Amazon's a little tougher, I think, because of the tools, man, the minimum tools you need. Now, we always say you don't need to do all the software, but the minimum software you're probably going to need is Scout. People can get away with the Amazon app, but that's hard, I think, off the gate.
Do you think, I mean, you kind of are a barrier to entry? I think about it this way, right? So I am a new bookseller. I like books. I like sci-fi books. So I'm going to start a little eBay business selling sci-fi books. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm brand new to eBay. I don't know what they expect from photos and title structure and item descriptions. So, I mean, I hate to break it to you, but you are like almost the ultimate barrier to entry to somebody that's new, because at the end of the day, we've said it before, right? I mean, you have the same item and we create the same listing. Like, mine is just dog poop in comparison, right? Like, I can accept that and live with that. So somebody that's brand new, I think what happens here is the seasoned sellers are adapting to what the platform wants, because sure, times are not like they used to be. It's a little bit harder now to pull a sale and to catch a fish. And the seasoned professional sellers, we'll call them, understand here's exactly what the platform wants. So I'm going to do every single thing I possibly can. Now, the new person, they're new. They don't know these things. Maybe they watch a lot of videos, but a lot of videos aren't going to say, okay, well, here's my exact foolproof way to make the perfect, eBay listing, right? So it's you are a barrier to entry. How do you feel about that?
Pretty darn good.
See,
I like
and
that
that,
I'm the standard.
yeah, that is a good thing, right? But to the new person, they don't get sales because Johnny's listings are too good. So it's like, you got to, I know you don't like to like kind of tread lightly and to hell with the new people that don't know what they're doing because you got to put in time to figure it out, right? But it is kind of interesting to think about it from that aspect. Like every amazing eBay seller is making it that much harder for a new seller. But that's just the reality of business, right? If we kind of just look at the grand scheme of the universe, like the winners are going to win.
And here's the thing, even so I'm the gateway, right? On the higher end, because I do charge higher, but there's a gateway on the lower end, the bulk guys. You
That's
can't
shit though,
outprice
dude.
them. You can't outprice them. So even if you say, okay, I'm gonna beat Johnny, I'm gonna charge a dollar less than him. Well, you know what? Joe Schmo that I can't compete with that charges, I don't know, $5 free ship. You can't compete with that guy if you're trying to capture the lowest price customer. They don't want to spend a lot, but they'll buy. You'll get a lot of volume, but you're charging $5 free ship. That's a hard model to compete with without special commercial rates. And those big guys got it. You got to be selling hundreds and hundreds a day to get access to that usually. So like, what do you do? Like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. I can't make the top quality listing to compete with the Johnny, and I can't go lower because the bulk guy with the stock photo is crushing it because I just can't go under him. So I'm stuck in the middle, and I guess I gotta wait my turn in line for Johnny to sell out.
That's the worst place to be in reselling is in the middle. Any way you look at it, you cannot just be the person just mediocre reselling is dead. It's dead 100%. Whatever's mediocre part of your business, sooner or later, you're not going to be in business. It is interesting though, because as we sit here and say there's these barriers, right? And I'll hop into the Amazon one here shortly. I do think for the person that wants to treat this like a business, there's still no better time because like we're talking about the barriers, they're all achievable. There's nothing really stopping you from passing every single hurdle we're going to talk about this episode and that we have already talked about. You just have to be willing to put the time in, right? It's not just like Johnny said, it's not as easy as just, well, just go list an item and you fall somewhere in the middle and it sells, right? Like everybody that's a reseller has been reselling for over 6 months, 3 months knows that. Them days are gone. You need to have quality listings with quality photos, and you need to be consistent no matter what platform you're selling on. So I think it is great for the person that says, hey, I'm going to give this a real shot, right? I'm going to take this seriously for X amount of time. I want to make X amount of dollars, and I'm going to see what I can get out of this effort that I put into it. But that's a hard hill to climb because treating something seriously, especially if you're working, you got other time commitments. It's super hard to kind of go 100% in a multiple different areas and say, all right, well, instead of working 40 hours this week, I'm going to work 50, or instead of 50, I'm going to work 60. But dude, the opportunity's there. We see new people come into the group all the time that are just like, they take it seriously, they treat the business right, and what do you know? They make money at the end of the day.
Right. As you've been talking there, I've been thinking about how did I approach the market when I first joined reselling? Because eBay been out for a while, right? It's not a brand spanking new platform. I took a look at the market and I looked at what other people were doing, how they were selling. I'm like, okay, what can I do that's better? How can I offer a better product presentation? Because that's what's going to sell or outsell most everybody else. And you know what? That required more work. That required more photos, more item specific. Me putting a book description in the description field, because not a lot of people do that. They may put a condition in their store policies, but very few of them put a book description. That's not the end all be all separator. That's just an addition to. And then, okay, if you're going to do all that, well, then I need very streamlined processes or I'm going to be screwed and I'll be suffering to get 10 up a day. Back in those times. And it's making a commitment to do that, to do a quality listing or do a quality listing plus one extra step everybody else isn't doing. That's a hard pill to swallow. It's like you got to work really hard and you got to build it up because Your first day on the job? you're not going to get any sales. It's just not going to happen. Maybe you'll get sales that week, potentially. But
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at gotolister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
It's a grind. And then on the Amazon front, how do you compete there with so many people on the same listing, right? And pretty much as lowest price wins. But you got your avenues, you got your new books or new items, you've got your send it into Amazon, and you got your merchant. Okay, what field has the least bit of competition that you could do? It's probably new. But how the heck do you get yourself a bunch of new legitimate products that Amazon will take? So then you may not want to go that route because it's very complicated. You may decide to go the FBA route. And then figuring out all the complexities of triggers and then where to go. Because I've seen cost of goods eat people alive. Like they're paying like $3 to $4 to get a $20 book. That's a grind in and of itself. I mean, margins are slim. So how do you get bigger margins? Then you got to figure out sourcing, and it's a spider web effect. That's what makes you a business owner, figuring out all that stuff, but it's still a grind to figure it out. I'm not gonna lie to you. It is. You're gonna be working no matter which way you slice it.
I don't, back in our day, Johnny, I know back in my day, you just signed up and you just uploaded like a picture of your ID, I think. When you signed up on Amazon, did you have to do the video or that wasn't yet?
No, that was a requirement. I had to have a video conference. Well, first they had me submit a form, which is just your standard information, your bank account, and you had to include photos of your ID. And then I messed up on mine, and there's a timer because they got
Yeah.
alert the people, and he's like, "You got 7 minutes to fix this." I'm like, "What?" And it was I reversed my month and the day of the month on my application. And so I'm like, okay, fine. He's like, what do I need to do? He's like, you need to upload a photo of your ID so I can just validate that it's legitimate. So I had to scan it in, right? My wallet was in my room. So I had to run to my room, grab my wallet, and then scan it in and then email him. He wouldn't let me just pop it up on the thing, and I finished like a minute 27 seconds to spare. I'm like, you son of a gun. Because I've been waiting 2 weeks to do this one meeting, right?
Yep.
And then it'd be like another 2 weeks if I couldn't do it this time. So they were lenient, but I had to hustle. I had to hustle on that call. And after the call, you got to wait for something in the mail. I forget what it's
Yep.
called.
The
And then
postcard, yeah.
the postcard, enter that in, and then you're good to go. And then you may have some things that pop up on Amazon. I forget that you got to finish setting up your account. But it's not easy, especially if you're not technologically inclined. Like, who has a scanner? I mean, I do because I bought the printer that had a scanner. If you don't have a scanner, I mean, got to find somebody, know somebody, or guess what? That public library I always mentioned.
That's just the initial hurdle of signing up, right?
Yeah.
And to some, right, you said it might seem like a big hurdle, but to others, like I would wonder what the ratio is of people that sign up on Amazon, like what the percentage is, and they actually show up to their first video verification to even get their account off the ground. I bet it's probably like a 50-50 split. Like half the people do all the typing in and then they're like, schedule a meeting, and then they never, that's it.
Yeah, and because it's effort, right? Because that's the
Yeah.
first thing of, well, you have to show up on time. You don't show up on time, they're like, see ya, next person in line.
And that's the initial sign up. I'm gonna dive a little bit into, all right, you're signed up, and now you can only sell a small percentage of items in Amazon's catalog because everything is gated, right? So on Amazon, brands are gated, categories are gated. So people start out with used books. I started out with used books because it's one of the few categories that's like automatically ungated for everybody. So you can sign up on Amazon today and you can start selling used books. Well, back in my day, we just sound like a bunch of old timers in this podcast. And honestly, we're on our way there, so it really don't matter.
Back in your days, like what, 7 years ago, 6 years ago?
You could just go and start scanning books right away and you could sell 100% of the books, right? Like there was no gates at all. I could sell any book that was profitable on Amazon. Well, nowadays, probably for the past 2 or 3 years, you get approved, you can sell new books, but you can only sell a small percentage of new books, right? In the beginning, Amazon kind of wants you to build this, hey, show me what you got, right? Like, show me you're actually going to send us products and sell something before we allow you to sell all these other items. So a lot of new people start and they think they can sell any of the 50 million books on Amazon. And then they go scan and they can only sell 5%. And they're like, they instantly quit right there. And I always tell them, like, just listen, send in a box or two of what you can. And then as they get checked in, Amazon automatically start releases a lot of these gates. So you can start selling a majority of the book catalog. But so you do all the headache. You show up to the video verification. You're like Johnny running to the room to get his wallet. I do the same thing whenever I need like my card for something I'll get on the computer. And then you go to scan and you can only sell 5% of the books that you actually find that are profitable. That's another hurdle because most people throw in the towel there and it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's consistency and wherewithal, but the barriers are going to be, no matter what business, the barriers are going to be around every corner. And that's a second barrier. We got your video. Now you got it. You can only sell 5% of the books, right? So that's two barriers. And we're like a week into the, well, I guess you got to wait 2 weeks for the video and then you can go start scanning. So we're 3 weeks
Almost
into
a
the business.
month-long process because it's the video plus the postcard in the mail, which takes about a week. You're almost looking at a month turnaround time to even attempt to sell your first item. And you've already given him $40, right? Just to sign up. I'm curious, when you started, was restock limits a thing, or was it still during the phase of just there's no limits?
It was, but it used to be like 5,000, like off the
Okay.
rip. Like you could be brand new and you automatically got like 5,000. And I think they always increased it if you ever got close. I never made it that far at that time. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was not really like any, it didn't matter.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Because I at one point in time, I don't think restock limits were a thing. You could just send in as much as you want. There were no storage fees. Oh my God, storage fees. Yeah, you could, that's a thing too. You're gonna mess up or you're gonna send in bad inventory, and then after a period of time, you're gonna have to, well, you're first probably gonna eat a bill and your payouts are gonna start to get less and less and less, and then you're gonna question it, and then you're gonna go digging, and then you're gonna find out you have inventory that's been sitting in there for more than 6 months and it's gotta go, or else you're gonna have smaller payouts. So that's another gate, I think, is you gotta monitor your inventory you're sending in. And then we had it. We're good.
I'm gonna give a real life example of exactly this, right? So, okay, you can sell books now. You start selling DVDs, or maybe you've been selling books, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and they say, Johnny, you no longer can sell Scholastic. Or the big one recently was Universal DVDs, right? You can't sell Universal branded DVDs.
Yeah.
So there's gonna be these hiccups along the road. Think about it this way. If you were the brand, you don't want these random people selling your products, right? Because you don't know what the quality is Johnny burning DVDs and send them into Amazon to sell, et cetera, et cetera. So what happens here is people yet again say, well, I guess it's time to call it quits because they're just going to gate everything on me and it's the end of times. Well, my real life example is exactly, it's not related to Amazon, it's related to eBay. There's other avenues to make money for those products you can't sell yourself, right? Like I can sell the stuff on eBay, but I don't have the expertise. I don't have the knowledge. And I would argue probably the biggest barrier to eBay is knowledge of the platform and the products you're selling. And I don't have that. So we're getting the items, we're getting the DVDs for a buck, right? Or a dollar, right? We're making 10 bucks, 15, 20 bucks on some of these. Well, if you have somebody you can just send this stuff to sell it for you, theoretically, it's less work and you still are making money on the back end, right? Like, I think about it this way. I had that stuff sitting that you already sold for me on eBay. It was like sitting in my storage unit for months and months and months. I just never was going to do it. So, when you do run into this, oh, I can't sell the History Channel anymore, like this DVD I'm holding. Well, Johnny can, or somebody you know can, right? And that's why it's a good thing to kind of have these relationships and be around people and say, hey, can you sell this for me on 50-50 split commission, whatever that may be? I think there's always an answer to every barrier that we run into. I don't think the barrier that really sinks us is if they say, you can't sell no more, right? Then, all right, well, what are we going to do? We can't sell no more. Everything else, you're always going to have to pivot at some point in your life. Right? Like you always got to take a risk. You always got to try something different. And when you get hit with some of these punches, you got to do something different. You can't just fold up and be like, oh, that's it, dude. I quit so much for 7 years, right?
Let's say you're gated. I mean, you got myself who does the 50-50 consignment. You even got sell back your book. That's not gonna be for every single item, but they've made a gigantic empire on, well, let me just go with the main scanning application. As these scanners are scanning, I can offer them pennies. And
Yes.
if you can get enough pennies, that equates to dollars and they'll send you a check too. Then you've got the restricted inventory places, right? They do a similar thing to me. So if they're more Amazon focused, I'll do eBay or Amazon or Abe. And then you got people like Max, he's making a business on, again, gated material. Send it to me. I'll sell it for you. So there's plenty of opportunities out there, and there's plenty of people to swindle your wares with. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Amazon platform. It could be adjacent to the Amazon platform. And then you may want to dabble in eBay yourself. So, you know what? I got a spare hour after my Amazon, after my day job. I'll plug in an hour a day on eBay. It's going to take you a minute, but once you grind it out, you'll start selling items yourself. And then I've seen people have some luck on Etsy, for those that like to be the Etsy seller, or even like the, what do they call it? Color books by the foot, like all red books, all green books, that kind of thing. There's just different ways to monetize. There's so many different avenues in our business to monetize. It's just taking a second, either doing the research or talking to people, finding out information, and or experimenting. I'm a big proponent of experimenting. Well, let me try sell back your book this year. You know what? I don't like the numbers. Let me try to do it better on my side. Or, you know what? I'm going to try this other guy in this other program. Or I'm going to try an antique booth mall. Maybe you have the high traffic area where that stuff just sells every weekend and you're just restocking with BS, but that BS sells there and only there.
I gave myself a barrier probably 3 years ago when I told myself I wasn't going to sell textbooks on Amazon anymore, right? So like I can probably sell every textbook on Amazon if I wanted to, besides like the top 0.5%. And I just said to myself, well, the risk is the barrier for me. So these are items I can actually sell. But like if I'm out in the thrift store and I scan a textbook and it's like, you're going to make $100. I send this in, I'm going to make $100. And like Johnny says, I go to one of these buyback companies and they're like, we're going to give you $15. Guess who's taking the $15, right? Like that's me every single time. It's hard to navigate barriers when they happen, but it's not just some of these things aren't necessarily like set in stone, right? Like I can sell the textbooks, but I choose not to. And it's kind of like there's things on eBay you can't sell. I got you in trouble for some of the things I sent you, right? They're taking these listings down because they don't meet their guidelines, right?
It was naughty, ladies and gentlemen. He sent me something naughty.
Yeah, very, very naughty. Because I can't sell it on Amazon because they don't allow anything even close. But dude, I did look it up on eBay and there was one sold, right? So I'm just assuming you can sell it because I don't know. I didn't understand that.
There's ways
Sometimes.
to get around it. I plugged in the item specifics. That's why I got dinged, because I cared about the listings. If I didn't do that, and I took out one word in that title, it probably would still be up. But I did a perfect listing, but Amazon called me out on my perfect listing. Not that it was imperfect. It was just like, oh no, you can't sell that here. No.
On the topic of Amazon gates, I've only physically bought a few products to get ungated in a few brands, right? The only brands I've ever bought products to get ungated for were Nintendo, Pokemon, and WWE. Those are the only ones, and Rock and Learn, which they didn't accept. So that was a waste of my time and money. But those are the only three. Everything else that people get gated in, I think Amazon has a new system in place where You have to be selling products of that specific brand, and they have a hidden algorithm where it's like the top X percent of these sellers of Universal are still going to be able to sell. And then the next percent, you're going to need an invoice for 100 units. And then the next percent is going to be you can't sell it at all. So the only thing Amazon is telling you is to sell more items. But everybody's sitting here right now, I know the first thing coming out their mouth is, well, how can I sell more items if the catalog isn't as openly available to somebody like me, right? Because maybe I'm part-time. And I wish I could sit here and say, life is fair and business is fair, but unfortunately it's not. And that's why it was almost like the perfect storm, because the beginning of this year I said the only thing that matters in this business is sell through. So I've been selling the crap out of everything. I'm taking some of the money every single time. And all of a sudden this year they start rolling out all these gates, and it seems like it's kind of implicated with what you're selling of that specific brand on Amazon to avoid these gates, because I personally haven't gotten hit with any of them. So I don't know what it is, and I know it's unfair for the part-timer on Amazon, but if you have an avenue like we're talking about, right? Like we got Max in the group, the kid's been doing commissions with libraries, and now he's offering to sell people's gated items. We got you for the eBay. You'll even do the Amazon stuff as well. Just take advantage of it, right? I'm still making money, right? The stuff I'm sending you, you're selling. I'm still making money on the back end. And honestly, dude, it's less work for me. I'm just throwing it in a box. And I mean, you could almost argue that it'd be better off for me to just do this with my whole business. Like,
And
I
it's
will
the
never.
same work for me. It's not extra work. People think that, but no, it's pretty much same work. There's a little bit of different processes involved when I'm dealing with other people's stuff, but it's essentially the same workflow. So it's not extra. Let's talk about the one kid we never really talk about, the merchant guys. So you're brand new. How do you do a merchant operation? Like, you don't want to do eBay. You're opposed to the fees and all of that that is FBA. You're looking at merchant, like, okay, you're gonna need to store like an eBay seller, and you gotta factor in space. Cause if you're doing merchant, I mean, you're gonna have metrics that you're gonna list in, but it's not like on eBay where you're charging like a $20 higher bill. You're dealing with a lot more lower margin stuff. So you're gonna need space, you're gonna need the infrastructure to put these items on. And are you gonna have a turnover period? Like, I don't know. Every 270 days, we pull everything that's 270 days plus, and then what do you do with that stuff? So you have a whole host of hurdles to overcome. There are very profitable merchant sellers. I'm not saying they're not, but I think merchant is harder than FBA.
100. Dude, think about it this way. Amazon tracks your on-time delivery right now. So Johnny takes the order today. Literally, someone orders it right now. He goes within the next 15 minutes, drops it off at the post office. If the post office decides not to hold up their end of the shipping agreement, which we all know, that shit's going to happen. Your stuff's going to sit there and it doesn't get delivered on time, but you did every single thing you possibly could. You even did better than what you said you were going to do on the platform. You still get dinged, and Amazon don't play the games that eBay does, because you might get a negative feedback on eBay. Amazon will shut down your whole FBM operation and say you can't sell FBM because your items are not getting delivered on time. And you can say, well, Jeff, hey Bezos, Mr. Bezos, I'm taking it to the post office. You can see the scans. They're going to say, well, it's not getting to the customers on time, so that's on you.
I listened to a pretty big merchant operation. They had a situation where their basement flooded and it damaged like 100 orders they had planned to send out. And he asked Amazon, well, they wanted him to send the books. And he said, no. You know what happened? 100 dings on his account. And they made him sign a letter that he was bad and would never do that again for an act of nature that was out of his control. That's insane to me. That tells me how much Amazon literally doesn't care about you. You do what they say or you leave.
Yeah, dude, that's all it comes down to. So I'm going to wrap this episode up here. With barriers, you can easily knock down every single barrier. You all have the tools, right? Especially if you're selling books. Now, if you're in other categories, there's plenty of other experts out there. But if you are selling books or CDs or DVDs on Amazon or eBay, you're looking at the two gentlemen that know how to get shit sold and get it done the right way, right? Like, it's not even like a shameless plug. That's just the facts of the matter here, right? The facts of the matter is when it comes to book listings, Johnny's the best. When it comes to Amazon, selling media on Amazon, I'm not the best, but I'm the only person that's going to show you exactly what you need to do to actually get money coming into your bank account. And Don't get discouraged. Don't get deterred because you might be sitting pretty like me right now. And then we wake up tomorrow and Amazon says, well, Mike, we're going to regate the whole DVD category and you're going to have to go buy 1,000 units. That's why I want everybody to be strategic today with their money. Have a little bit of the, cash reserves for your business set aside. And that's how we can kind of get through the rainy days and everything like that. So we appreciate y'all. We'll talk to you in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.